Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Shastiyam Saranam. He is describing different aspects, of course, of Bhava Bhakti. And we were going through systematically what is the experience of one at Bhava Bhakti and what are how one comes to that platform. And then he analyzes, he actually breaks down and describes Bhava in different verses. So yesterday we were describing some of the different elements that make up Bhava. The Ilamban, or it's called Vibhav, then Anubhav, and all these things. He says these are experienced at the level of Bhava Bhakti, which is a long way away from probably all of us. But this is text 4 on Bhajan Rahasyam. The Anubhavas, these follow the stimulation of the heart in the presence of the beloved. There are certain bodily changes that take place. And these are deliberate. I mean, sattvic bhavas, this verse is all about sattvic bhavas. Nayanam galadashudariya varanam gadgara vridyagira. So this is the sixth verse of Shikshastikam where Lord Chaitanya is experiencing, then he's also praying, kada. When I'm chanting the holy name, there's tears in my eyes, my throat is choked up, my body is trembling, hair is standing on end. Then he's saying, but kada, when will this happen? For the advanced devotees, it happens. They have these are involuntary, they happen automatically. But for those that aren't advanced, we can only look in the distant future and wait for that day of purification to arrive. But then he's explaining that these septic bhavs, they come, these are septic bhavs. They're involuntary. We don't have any control over them. Like if our emotions get arise to a certain extent in some personal dealing, we start crying. It's not that we say, oh, I'm feeling distressed right now, I think I'll start crying. And you turn on some water valve and tears come out. It doesn't work like that. There's a buildup of emotions and excitement occurs or some depression or whatever. And then someone says, oh, you're crying. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened. It's an outbreak or an outburst of emotions beyond our control. And even we may try to repress these symptoms in different circumstances because they won't be understood or they won't be conducive. But septic bhavas are irrepressible. You cannot really repress them, generally. But anubhavas, which come before that, these are deliberate. Described here, deliberate bodily movements like singing and dancing. One feels so elated that you see, it's kind of mundane, but sometimes they show someone he's very happy and he jumps and he kicks his heels or something. And I can only think of in the Goshala, we see a lot of cows and things. In the Goshala, when they bring in some special food, sometimes they have a special treat like Sunday feast for the cows. They bring in some fresh greens, like a whole wagon of fresh green grass comes, or green, whatever they call it, can't think of the name. Anyway, it's a green type of grass, and they can see it, they're not stupid. And they see the tractor trolley pulling, it's just stuffed with green grass, and they start getting excited, and the cows are running in the paddock area where they're fenced in. They start running, and their tails come in the air like this, and oh, big feast, whole truck full of greens. So even animals get excited when their hearts get stimulated by some object. So that's they're expressing, they're excited and they're expressing their excitement. So singing and dancing, when one's very happy, he's singing and or he may dance for no reason at all. So these are anubhavas. They arise in a devotee when he reaches the developed stage of bhava. These are described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.2.2. Nirtyam vilutitam gitam krishnam tanamotanam hunkaro jimvanan swashwasa bhuma loka napekshita la shavota hashascha gorna hikadayo picha hikadayo. Interesting Sanskrit word. There's a word in English called hiccup. Someone goes that's called hiccup. And the same as the Sanskrit, it's almost the same. It's called hikadayo. So these are Because it says anubhav. So bhav means feelings of feeling, love, outburst, emotion, anu. Following the bhav. Anu, the word anu means following. Anukalyena, following the group or following the system. So anu means external actions that follow a particular mood. These are called anubhavs. There's the bhava, then anu. The actions which follow a mood. So you're in a very happy mood. So then, like when you're in that happy mood, you're something arises inside of you, and you say, "I feel like dancing. I just feel like singing." It's rather rare in the material world, because it's such a depressing experience. Working on interrelations in the material world, for the most part, they aren't so exciting or innovating, which create a spontaneous mood of wanting to sing and dance. Sometimes artificially, we can catapult ourselves into such forced dancing or singing just to try to become happy in search of happiness. We go to the disco or start dancing or whatever. But this is also voluntary, but I just feel like I want to dance, and then you just dance for Krishna. Like Chandrakanti, this one lady that got inspired reading about the gopis spending all night dancing for the pleasure of Krishna. So one Ekadasi, she fasted all day and she fixed her mind on the gopis. If the gopis can dance and Krishna takes so much pleasure, then why can't I dance all night? I can dance. I can stay up all night. And I'm going to dance better than the gopis. And Krishna's going to leave all the gopis and dance with me alone. Just see how I dance. And she's just dancing in the forest. She went out into the middle of the forest. Okay, this is my rasa dance. And Krishna, I will dance so wonderfully that you'll have to come and take me. So it's explained that this dancing of Chandrakanti was on the platform of Rag Marg. This attracted Radharani's attention. Sometimes it's told that she's expansion of Radharani. But generally it's cited as a sadhaka in Raghunuga Bhakti. And by her intense enthusiasm and absorption and meditating on the residents of Vrindavan and trying to follow their sevas and just dancing the whole night, then Krishna accepted her and she became a gopi, Chandrakanti. Radharani bestowed her mercy upon her. She didn't have Siddha Pranali or anything like that, but she really had a strong determination. She got attached to the gopis of Vrindavan. She became attached to their service of pleasing Krishna, of dancing. So she just did it with that bhav, that mood, and she was given the suitable body to dance eternally. Chandrakanti. So this is, these are the actions. This is definition of anubhav. The external transformations that reveal the heart's emotions, bhavas, are called anubhavas. And this is a list. I think there's 13 of them or something. Dancing, rolling on the ground, singing, loud crying, contorting the body or writhing the body, roaring, yawning. So I guess there's a lot of devotees in Bhagavatam class that are really highly advanced on the level of anubhav. Oh, yeah. Then after, they're yawning in Bhagavatam class, so that's an expression of their anubhav. And then when they go to the prasadam hall after Bhagavatam class, and they eat too many green chilies, they start going, because there's too much fire in their stomach, and they start hiccuping. So within a span of a half hour, they're exhibiting two symptoms of anubhav. No. Then it also says they're rolling on the floor. Rolling on the ground and loudly crying. So if they eat so much prasadam, they may roll over and start saying, "Oh, my belly hurts." So of course I'm joking, but these things, these are voluntary, but they're actually genuine expressions of deep love for the Lord. Yawning, breathing heavily, and neglecting others. Well, you can see that a lot of these qualities we have already. Neglecting others, yawning, hiccuping, rolling on the ground, roaring. But these aren't symptoms of bhava bhakti. These are just symptoms of bhoga, and too much bhoga sometimes, or just mayavad behavior. So anubhavas are voluntary, where sattvic bhavas are involuntary. So this is told here. And there's some tika here. With the development of the sadhaka's transcendental emotions, the above anubhava is manifest. He doesn't care for public opinion. The sadhaka chants and dances. It's impossible for worldly-minded persons to understand the activities of devotees. Devotees tasting bhav bhavuka bhaktas, they are so much different from mundane persons. Sometimes, hypocrites, those that are false people, they desire worship or fame or gain, and they imitate the activities of pure devotees. And there's an example here from, I believe it's Chaitanya Bhagavat. Haridas Thakur, he was there, and he was watching this guy doing a snake dance. And for a devotee, everything he sees in the environment reminds him of Krishna or Krishna's pastimes. Because he's always searching his hard drive for Krishna's pastimes. If there's any files stored there, Krishna's pastimes. And then he sees something. He goes in the Govardhan Parikrama Marg, and a kid comes up and says, "Snake, snake! Snake, snake, look, snake." And he opens his basket and the cobra goes, "Ah," and you go, "Ah." Like this, you get scared. But if you're thinking of Krishna, you say, "Oh, Krishna Kaliya. How wonderful it must have been. Oh, does your snake have a footprint of Krishna on his head? Can I see? Does he have a footprint of Krishna like Kali?" It's like this. So Haridas Thakur, he was chanting his nam, and he started remembering Krishna's pastime of subduing Kali the serpent, Kali Adaman Lila. And then Haridas Thakur himself, he started to dance. He started to remember, oh, Krishna was dancing so wonderfully on the rasmandala of Kali's heads, 100 heads. And other devotees, as they saw Haridas dancing in that prem avesh, and that Krishna avesh, that Lila avesh, just absorbed in Kali Lila, Hare Krishna, dancing. Other people, spectators and devotees, they started taking the dust from Haridas' feet and smearing it on their heads, considering them very, very fortunate. So then some Brahmin was there. He was watching a snake dance. Apparently it was a big snake dance. A lot of people were gathered around. So one Brahmin was watching, and as usual, if somebody has something you don't have, then you become envious. So he became envious because everyone was touching his feet. He said, "What is it? Who is this guy? It's Haridas Thakur. He's some Muslim. Now he picked up some mala, some japa mala from ISKCON, and now he's chanting Hare Krishna. And now everyone's touching his feet, and he's just dancing around like a drunk in the marketplace, and everyone's thinking some big sadhu and anubhavas. He's dancing and exhibiting anubhavas here. This is anubhav, dancing madly, not neglecting out, not caring what others are thinking, and just dancing in the premavesh, lilavesh, absorption of your own bhav, your internal bhav, and let the world go where it goes, because you're in your own world of Krishna Smaranam. And everybody, what is this? He's a fake. He's just dancing around. Typical Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And people are so foolish. I'm a Brahmin. I'm a Mishra. I'm a Pandit, Chaturvedi, and then no one's touching my feet, no one's paying any attention to me. What is this? So this Brahmin became envious. Then he began to imitate Haridas Thakur. He started dancing. So they thought, well, maybe people will touch my feet, because he's dancing, getting his feet touched. Maybe if I dance, imitate the snake dance, I'll get my feet, they'll touch my feet, and I'll become a big shot. So what happened is that this snake charmer, the guy that was playing this shanai and charming and inducing the snake to sway back and forth and looking like dancing, they go, that he got angry with this Brahmin. He started beating him with his shanai. "You fake, you stupid, why are you breaking up the party? Get out, you imposter. Chow, chow. Tong, tong, tong." He beat him with his shanai. "Oh, stop, stop." And everybody said, "Yes, yes, he's fake. Get out from here." So envy is a very... It smells. It's very bad. It smells very bad. It spoils a party. If you're having a party and there's an envious person in the assembly, it really spoils the whole fun. All the devotees were enjoying the snake dance, and they were relishing that this Haridas, he's there. He's not doing a show. He's not doing a performance. He's not profiling. He's not trying to get a following and start a new movement, the Haridas Thakur snake dance movement. You know, there's something. He's relishing his own bhavas. And then people get envious and try to imitate. You can't imitate something. You can't imitate someone's love. You can't imitate someone's bhav. You may imitate the externals, but you can never imitate the internal. Oh, he walks like this, or he sings like this, so then I sing like that and walk like that. It will be rejected. It will not be appreciated by the masses. And it will be reactionary. You'll go down by the imitation. You'll be destroyed by the imitation. So this is cited here as an example of an anubhav of dancing. He's dancing and he's roaring and he's neglecting others. He could care less about the envious Brahmin. He just saw the snakes and they were swaying and the guy was dancing, and immediately he just, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Kaliya, Krishna Kaliya. Then he left this world and he entered Lila Pravesh. He didn't know, Haridas Thakur didn't even know about the existence of the Brahmin. He forgot that this whole snakes and the music, Shanai and the snake dancer, they simply acted as environmental stimulants called Udipan to stimulate his Thaibhav, his Dasirati, his love for the Lord. And then he entered that Rati. He entered the depths of his heart where his own eternal loving mood of the Lord is residing, and he became ecstatic and completely oblivious to the world. It doesn't mean that you snobbishly neglect others out of false pride or bodily pride or physical pride or something, that you act in a very haughty way, independent and egoistic way towards others. That's not the meaning of neglecting others, because we're good at that. Being basically Mayavadis and impersonalists, we're very good at neglecting people, turning on people and turning off people. But this is a different type of neglect. This means neglecting the material world because you're absorbed in another world. You don't even know about your friends or relatives or anybody. You're just entered deeply into your inner relationship with Krishna. Antaryami, you go inside your heart with the Lord and you leave this world and enter the eternal, mystical, magical world of internal reality, where the spiritual world plays its divine scenes of love and exchange far beyond this limited material world. It's called Lila Pravesh. When a great master leaves this world and becomes what they call an ascended master or liberated soul, then he is described as Niti Lila Pravishta. Nityalila Pravishtam Vishnupad Panahamsa Vidrajakacharyashtarasati Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They say like this, Nityalila Pravishta, Pravesh, Pravishta, he has entered Nityalila. So this can happen while one is living, one can enter Nityalila. It's called Lila Pravesh. And then, what is this world doing? Where is this world going? Who is in this world? Why this world exists? I have no idea. They have no idea. They're in another world, the transcendental realm, spiritual sky. So these are anubhavas. These are one of the aspects that go into producing. These are one of the elements of the what is called bhakti ras. There's the vibhav, which is the lamban and udipan. And then there's the anubhavas. So this section is, I want to explain how rasa, this bhakti rasa, expresses itself in the course of Lila Smaranam. Because we practice, even as sadhakas, at the level of Raghunuga sadhakas especially, they are guided by their guardians and their bhajan shiksha gurus to engage in Smaranam as much as possible. Of course, Smaranam has five levels. We often hear the acharyas of devotion, they say, when you chant Nam, then remember Krishna's pastimes. Remembering Krishna's pastimes means we are advised when we chant the Maha Mantra that we should meditate on the pastimes of the Lord. This is often told, and you hear this. And I don't know if you try to do it, or if you have tried to do that. That technique is called Lila Smaranam. But this is the sum and substance of one on the level of Bhava Bhakti, that their Bhava doesn't allow them to do anything but meditate on Krishna's pastimes. Their feelings are so much absorbed in Krishna's taste, Krishna's ruchi, and their hearts are so much attached to Krishna that they can't leave Krishna. They want to be with Krishna and think of Krishna from moment to moment, time to time, throughout the day. And Krishna's day is divided in eight different periods, Ashtakali Lila. So they do smara and they remember. When we meet great devotees and we ask them their schedules, we usually find that they are awake for some portion of each of the eight periods of the day. They touch some periods of all eight periods of the day. They rise early and sleep. In other words, they rise early and they sleep late. So, so we may rise late and sleep late, or rise early and sleep early. But generally, you see, because let's look at the situation. The eight periods of the day, the beginning of the day, you could say, is the end of the night. Beginning of the day is the end of the night. That's called Nishant. And that is 3:36 in the morning until 6 a.m. So not only great devotees and serious sadhakas, practically every human being gets up at this time, between 3:36 and 6. But most human beings get up closer to 6, or even after 6, 7. But let's just say, for example, a serious Raghunuga sadhaka who wants to progress to higher levels of devotion, which everyone wants, to come to prema, that's the goal, he will rise somewhere between 3:36 and 6, more on the 3:30 side. So then he chants mala, he thinks about Nishant Leela while chanting. Then after Nishant Leela, then at 6 o'clock, the sunrise Leela, 6 to 8:36, this is called the Pratak, P-R-A-T-A-H, Pratak Leela. Or at the beginning of the day, sunrise Leela, Krishna's bathing and breakfast, and Radharani's bathing and breakfast, and then Radharani coming to cook Krishna's breakfast and taking his remnants in Nandagan. Then Krishna goes out for Gocharan in the morning time as everyone goes to work time. So everyone in the world, they go to work between 8:36 in the morning and 10:48. So even Krishna goes to work then also. So you can think, oh, I'm going to work. I'm on the subways. I'm on the tubes. I'm on the freeway. I'm on the highway. I'm on the train. I'm going to work. I'm going to office. I'm going to job or sankirtan or whatever. That's everyone's doing. That's called a Purvahana Leela. P-U-R-V-A-H-N-A. Purvahana Leela. 8:36 in the morning until 10:48. So even the most laid-back worker, bank manager, he'll be in work by 11 a.m. He'll be on his way at least at 10 o'clock. He'll leave the house and be there by 11. Big manager or whatever. So Krishna's on his way to the cowherd pastures, 8:36 to 10:48. So now everyone's up. So we're up for that's one pastime, Nishant pastime, then Pratak, then Puravan. And then the middle of the day is Madhyan Leela. That's 10:48 till 3:36. That's all at Radhakund. And then the returning to the Nandagram with all the cows, that's called Apurvan, A-P-U-R, Apurvan, Vana, V-A-H-N-A. That's from 3:36 in the afternoon until 6 p.m. So we're also up at that time, and we're remembering Krishna's pastimes. Then from evening time, sunset pastimes, 6 p.m. to 8:36, that's called Shayan. You must have heard of Shayan Artik. Kiva Jayo Jayo Gora Chandi. So this is Shayan. It's called Shayankal, Shayanyam. And this is from 6 p.m. until 8:36. And we're also up at that time. Then it's called Pradosh Leela, 8:36 to 10:48. And then Radharani, she has dinner, Krishna's dinner, there's some entertainment, just like we do. We have dinner, we watch TV, we go to the movies. So Krishna doesn't have TV, but he has live TV. People, acrobats and storytellers and acrobats and jokers and magicians and jugglers and all kinds of people come and do interesting things. Science shows and discovery shows. And he watches this all in the palace auditorium. They do magic shows and pull rabbits out of hats and walk on balance beams and do backflips and handsprings and all kinds of funny things to entertain children. And then he takes his hot milk and cookies and goes to bed. I don't know about cookies, but something. That's 8:36, 10:48. Okay, that sounds like everybody else. We eat, we relax, a little entertainment, then go to rest between 8:30 and 10. 8:36, 10:48. So that's called Pradosh Leela. So now this is from 8:36 to 10:48. Then from 10:48 until 3:36 a.m., That's called Nisha Lila. N-I-S-H-A, Nisha. Or Ratri. Ratri Lila. So now this is from begins 10:48 in the evening until 3:36 a.m. This is all Ras Lila and all these wonderful pastimes of the gopis. So a lot, usually devotees take rest, full-time devotees, they take rest at 9 or 10 and get up at 3 or 4 if they're a little serious about sadhana bhakti, especially if they're working and have to put everything together, bhajan and bhojan, working and spiritual activities. So we may miss, because we take rest at 9 or 10, we may miss this actual, this Ratri Lila or Nisha Lila. Most of the sadhakas that we know that have been, that are full, they don't have to work and commute, do commuting and all that. Their whole life is bhajan. They all take rest about 11. They take rest at 11 o'clock or later. So this is the actual life of a serious Raghunuga sadhaka. His bhajan shiksha guru will advise him like this, that all right, if you take rest at 11, then you get up at 4, right, like this. And then when you're in each time period, you think that Krishna's having, these are the pastimes going on now. This is the general standard. So this was just some side point, but how Ras expresses itself when one is engaged in Lila Smaran. Of course, this is at the level of bhava. How do we actually... We hear about rasa, divine rapture, or that extraordinary taste that one feels within the core of their heart and mind and even their body. It's wholesale takeover. It's a wholesale takeover, the conquest of love, where Krishna takes over our heart, our lives and our minds, and we reciprocate by experiencing ecstasy. Bhava means ecstasy. And this is genuine. It's the mystical experience of devotion. The mystical experience of devotion where the minute jiva connects with the infinite Lord through a bond of love. And in that love, the greatest ecstasy is experienced. And this is the whole treasure house, the treasure house of devotional development, the treasure house of bhakti. Most people, they settle for the cheap imitation of ecstasy or joy found in material relationships, especially culminating in man-woman relationships. They think that this is the pinnacle of joy or happiness. And as far as material world goes, that's it. But that can't compare to a drop of the experience of the ocean of devotion. Because all the great saints and rishis, it's not that they're dry spiritualists. It's not that they haven't experienced both worlds. Many of the great rishis and saints of devotion, they were full-on materialists with 50 wives, 100 wives. They were kings. It's not that they had any shortage of conjugal pleasures or amorous affairs, but they enjoyed everything that this material world has to offer to the hilt. Power, fame, sex enjoyment, influence, wealth, opulence, luxury. And they would walk out on all of it because of the taste of bhakti ras that they have experienced in their bhajan. So it's a real thing, it's not an imaginary thing. It's not a hypnosis, it's not self-delusion or sublimation of urges. It's actually an expression of the true nature of the Atma, Atmananda. So this is the search of the sincere sadhaka. He's searching for ecstasy, divine ecstasy, the search for ecstasy. That's what bhakti is all about. Ecstatic love. If the sadhaka is cultivating the sthayi bhav of romantic love, madhura rati, with a desire to become Radha's handmaiden in manjari bhav, he will see Radha's handmaiden, which means manjari, Rupa Manjari or Rupa Goswami, as the perfect role model. Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, is the embodiment of the love which is called bhav-ulas-rati, that the devotee, the sadhaka, aspires to experience, that ulas, that ecstatic rising of bhav. And Radha-Krishna-yugal, the combined form of Radha and Krishna, are the object of that love. While meditating on a pastime of Radha and Krishna, The vibhavas, I told you, vibhavas, alamban and udipan. For example, one is meditating on Krishna's pastimes of calling the gopis for the rasa dance. This is at the level of bhava. While meditating on the rasa-lila, one of the vibhavas, that means the sound of Krishna's flute and the spring breeze, this is what happens amongst Krishna's associates. The gopis hear Krishna's flute calling them, the murali is calling them in Vasant Kal, Vasant Ritu, or springtime. And then there's a beautiful cool breeze blowing. And the combination of this cool spring breeze and the sound of Krishna's flute, so it's sound and touch, sparsha and shabda, they excite Radha's love, the sthayi bhava, the permanent love always situated in her heart. Thus, the bhakta, the bhava bhakta, who is identifying with Radha in love, Radha's love, and he's meditating on Rupa Manjari as he's meditating on himself as Rupa Manjari's assistant, he will also be stimulated. So this is called the sadhanakaran. They call it sadhanakaran, that one becomes so much identified that he experiences. So we can't identify with the pastimes of Radha and Krishna or the feelings of Radha and Krishna until we attain the qualification, when the qualification is bhava bhakti. So this is one of the portholes, as they say. The portholes, the hole, you can say, the hole to look into the spiritual world. When one has bhava, then he can enter, he actually enter the lila. This is what lila pravesh means. He enters lila on the strength of his bhava. Our bhava is such that it acts like a magnet. Like a magnet, if there's some iron filings, they will get stuck together. So the bhava in our heart will seek out the bhava in the hearts of Krishna's associates, and they'll get stuck. Their bhava will get stuck in our heart. So development of bhakti, the purification of the heart, is all about magnetism. Because the word Krishna means karshan. Karshan means magnetism. It means karshati, attracting force, agitating force, the pulling power, karshan, sankarshan. So we say, Hare Krishna, O Krishna, please pull my mind. Please attract my mind to your lotus feet. Please pull me away from maya. Please pull my senses away from material sense enjoyment. Please withdraw my senses from the objects of this world and fix my senses on your service and your lotus feet. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, please, Hare, steal, you're a thief, Hare, please steal me away and attract me. So Krishna consciousness is all about magnetism, magnetic consciousness, getting stuck on Krishna. Like people say, oh, I'm stuck on you. They have these colloquial phrases, boys and girls, oh, I'm really stuck on you. I can't give you up. I can't avoid you. I can't forget you. So we're trying to become qualified to get stuck on Krishna. So this is what happens at the level of bhava bhakti. That one does, we meditate and we lose it. We meditate and it escapes us. It runs away from us. The lila runs out of our mind. And other things crowd our mind to replace it and kick it out. Useless wayward thoughts and it's called vikshepa, distractions. But at the level of bhava, the lila comes and sticks in our mind. It sticks there like filings on a magnet. Because we've surrendered so much to Krishna that Krishna pulls our mind. He pulls our mind to the lilas and pulls the lilas into our mind. They forcefully pull into our mind. They're attracted. What is iron filing? You know, these small pieces of iron pieces. Do they do anything? They're passive. They're actually passive. They're iron pieces. The magnet has the power, right? The magnet, you know the magnet? And then it comes like this. And then they're just sitting there and they jump. The iron pieces jump on the magnet, right? The magnet doesn't jump. Magnet stays here. If it's a powerful magnet, the iron is like, shoo. Right? So this bhava becomes like a magnet to attract the Krishna's lila from so far away. The pure are above, then Krishna's lila, which is so far away, comes, shh, boom, gets stuck on our mind, like this. And then when we're absorbed in a lila and it's stuck with us, stuck in our mind, then we see, we can actually hear the flute. This is described Madhurya Kadambini. Then the gopis are running and they're feeling like this, and those feelings come in our heart because we're right there. They're on the end of the magnet, we're on the end of the magnet. We're in the lila. And you see, Das Goswami shows this example in Vilavkusamanjali. It's called this Ardabhaya consciousness. That's half external. It's called Antarbhaya consciousness. He's inside. He's absorbed in the lila, and he's seeing it, he's feeling it. He's identifying. If Radharani's happy, he feels happy. If Radharani's sad, he feels sad. And then he loses that lila, loses that vision. Then he cries and laments. Oh, I was there. I was feeling what Radharani was feeling. I was assisting. I was just about to hand a flower garland to Rupa Manjari to give to Radhika. And this flower garland was special because Brindadevi gave me this garland, and Krishna made this garland with his own hand, and he left it hanging on the branch of Kadamba tree. And he told Brindadevi, give this to Radharani. Maybe she'll cheer up. Maybe she'll give up her man. So Brindadevi gave that to Rupa Manjari, and Rupa Manjari is bringing that garland to Radharani. First, Brindadevi gave it to me and said, listen, this Krishna made this specially for Radharani to break her angry mood, her jealous mood. Please give it to Radharani. So I was carrying that garland. I was just about to give it to Rupa Manjari, and I lost that meditation. Because I was identifying with Radharani's feelings, how much separation she's feeling, how much torment she's feeling in Krishna's separation. And I was identifying with the hope that Krishna had, so much hope that Krishna put in this garland, and so much anticipation and utkantita, eagerness and yearning Krishna wove into this garland. Each flower was his yearning and his longing to meet with Radharani was symbolized in each flower that he wove in this garland. And I'm carrying all this hope and trying to make this connection as a duty, as a messenger of Radha. I mean, a messenger of Krishna acting in this to bring the two lovers together. And I was just, and all this was, feelings were inside of me. And I was feeling all this, and I was just about to hand this garland to Rupa Manjari, then the meditation broke. Oh, why am I so fallen? Why am I so useless? When will I get back to this pastime? This is Vilavkusamanjali. So because of the Bhav, he's showing that this is the experiences of the Bhava Bhakta. His meditation, he becomes Tanmoy. It's called Tadatmika. Becomes one with the heart and feelings of the Nitya Parishads. I mean, this is like looking at the rings of Saturn or something through a powerful telescope, looking at Venus or Mercury or some great, some distant planet. But at least the words of Shastras and the experiences of the sadhakas are left behind for us to be enthused and encouraged to go forward and rise out of the modes of nature and come up to the transcendental light of the pure land of love. So this is... The Manjari assistant will be similarly stimulated. If the Bhava Bhakta's Stai Bhava is deeply felt, it will result in a physical indication reflecting the Bhava of Radha and Rupa that they are experiencing, such as a coy smile, a sidelong glance. Such a physical indicator is called an anubhav. Involuntary responses also manifest in the form of tears and other sattvic bhavs in Radhika's person. As they appear in Radha, they also appear in Rupa Manjari, and all Bhava Bhaktas identifying with this Stai Bhav. Any Bhava Bhakta who is cultivating Bhavulas Rati, this is a specific loving mood. Rati means bhava. It's called bhavulas. As a feeling, an emotion, sentiment rises in your heart. Ulas means rises. As it rises and stirs up and jumps up and takes over your heart and moves your mind and transforms your body in particular ways, it also jumps up in my heart and moves my mind and transforms my body in the same way. So the Manjaris have a specific, it's described as a sixth Staibhav or a specific Staibhav, and sometimes it's described as a branch of Madhurya Rati. because it's related to Madhurya Rati, but it's a unique experience, so it's called Bhavalas Rati. A special sthayi bhava, or permanent mood of love, that's in the heart of Radharani's maidservants called Bhavulas, Bhav Ulas Rati. Maybe it's a lot of technical terms, but this is the way it is. Then finally, as this bhava appears as Vyavachari Bhav, these are transitory emotions, such as despondency, jubilation. They may appear in Radhika, they will also appear in the meditating Bhava Bhakta, envisioning the Leela. All of these bhavas occurring together, they increase and heighten one's sthayi bhava, such that it ascends to the point of ras, which is the zenith of spiritual emotion, known as aesthetic rapture. So this is the bhakti ras. So there's an example from Govinda Lilamrita, chapter 18, verse 94. It describes, Sri Radha's body resembles a golden pot filled with the cool milk of the pastimes of her beloved Krishna. Thus Radha brings joy to the mandris attending her. A moment later, Radha's face turns pale as she experiences the poison of separation, and then the mandris become grief-stricken in turn. Here, the subject of love, Alamban Viva Prem Vishaya, is Radha, who is grief-stricken due to separation from Krishna. And the shelter or the object of love, Alamban Viva Premashraya, are the mandris. The paleness of Radharani's face and her sorrowful looks are the Udipan, excitant causes. Radha's tears are the sattvic bhavas, and her sighs, she's sighing, are the anubhavas. Depression and humility are the vyavachari bhavas, transitory emotions. When all these bhavas combine together, all these moods, they nourish the sthayi bhav of the mandris, known as Bhavalas Rati, and they cause Radha's handmaidens or mandris to experience Radha's mood of separation, viraha ras. So these are very highest possible level experiences of Radharani and her intimate associates. And of course it's included in here mandris. So the sadhana, the sadhaka will become a siddha, and the siddha will have his siddhadeya in one of the rajabhavas of Sakya or Vatsalya, primarily Madhurya as a mandri, Radharani's maidservant. And then she will be so much identifying with Radha that all these things will come inside the heart. So, I think we can continue there tomorrow. Conclude, discussion about bhava. There's a couple more verses. And then the Leela explanation that one experiences the level of bhava, what Leela he meditates on in relation to the Mahamantra, we should cover that tomorrow.